About a week ago, we arrived back from our Canada mission trip, and where 11 of us went again this year to help the church in Canada as they're renovating an old barn and turning it into a church building. And so we've gone the past few years. We did that again this year. Everything was fine. We left here early. About 5 o'clock from the church building, went to the airport, went to Chicago, went to Quebec. We land in Quebec, we're going through customs as we normally do, and I have a mental note, a couple things in mind. One thing is, our missionaries have reminded us, and they tell us that when you go through customs there, and they ask you, why are you here, that instead of telling them, you know, we're here on a mission trip and working with the church, and which will just lead to more questions and more delays and those kind of things, tell them you are visiting friends. And of course, we are visiting friends. So we're not lying, but this is a more practical way to navigate customs in Canada. So I have that in my mind, and then I also have in my mind a mental note that at customs, they don't have a sense of humor. And when we get there, we're excited. I mean, this is another country. This is Canada, so we're all excited. They're not near as excited as we are. So we go through, and at the end of our group, there's 11, and Yvette, my sister, Steve, Hess, and me, we're at the back of the line. And so when I come to the woman, she's already seen, you know, 7-8 of our people go through. And so she asks, why are you here? And I'm visiting friends. And she says, oh, there's like 15 of you. And I said, there's 11. And she said, whatever, it's a big group. What are you here for? What are you doing? Well, we're visiting friends. And so she asked me some further questions, in which I just answered honestly. At some point, I broke down, really. I folded like a cheap tin, and I told her, we're working on a church building. We're going to be doing work all week. And so anyway, she made a little mark on my little card and passed me on, and that's the mark you don't want to get, because when you get to the next person, you get to go in this criminal line, this line of criminals, which I went over there. Now, in my defense, there was one person in our group, and I'm not going to say who it was, but Jessica Hendricks told me that when they asked her, who are you here to see, she said she didn't. No, where are you going? She didn't know. What are you going to do when you're there? I don't know. Where is this place? I don't know. So, anywho, I'm in the criminal line, and so Yvette and I, you know, we don't know how long this line is. We can't even see the front of it, but we know we're detained, and we're going to be asked questions, and they're going to find out if we're criminals. And I have Steve Hess here, and he's trying to chat it up with the locals in the line. It's kind of like that deal of, like, what are you in for? He's trying to do this. But they don't speak English. And they're giving him weird looks, and I'm trying to keep him calm. So anyway, finally we get, and they separate us. Now, we tried to, the three of us tried to get our stories right, but they did separate us. And I just answer every question. What are you here working on, church building? What are you going to do? I don't know. Sheetrock, which we did, a lot of sheetrock. What are you doing that for? You know. Anyway, about 2 hours later, being detained. And to be honest, I don't know. Are they going to send us home? Are they going to let, you know, 8 go in and we're headed back to the U.S. of A.? I don't know. So it's pretty nerve-wracking, honestly. 2 hours later, we finally get through. What a relief. I'll tell you this, coming back to the United States, coming through customs in Chicago, when they say, when the officer there says, welcome home, that's a good feeling. We just came off July 4th, and I have to say that we are privileged to live in this nation. Where men and women have served and sacrificed and given their lives for the freedoms that we cherish. And I'm grateful for that. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I want to talk about citizenship today. And we have a passage here in Philippians where Paul talks about that. He talks about this world. He talks about how we live in this world. He talks about where we're headed. He talks about citizenship. And Philippians 3 verse 17 says, "Brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Paul uses this word imitating. We do imitate, by the way. I mean, as humans, we are imitators. Children imitate at a young age. In fact, a lot of what you know to do, you learn by seeing someone else do it. And you just copied them. You just imitated what they do. That's how we learn. But we have a tendency to, we think we are individuals. We think we do what we want to, and we don't realize how much we imitate others. Generations in our society think different, act different, talk different. If you think about your generation, whether it's young generation, middle age, older generation, you sound like your people. Did you know that? You kind of act like your people. We have variations, but we tend to imitate others more than we think. So who do we imitate? Who do we talk like? Who do we dress like? Who do we think like? Who should we imitate? And I want to acknowledge that for young people, our young people are going to camp today, by the way. Pray for them this week at church camp. Young people, I know you don't want to imitate your parents. And I understand why. And no offense to them who are in this room, but they're kind of dorks. Now, Sydney's isn't, but I understand the rest are. I get it. That's part of being a teenager. But who are we going to imitate? And God tells us, you imitate those who walk according to the example. Find a godly person and imitate them, right? It's not my favorite athlete. It's not my favorite musician. It's not my favorite actor. It's not those people that I need to imitate, is it? It's godly people. Find someone godly and imitate them. And then let me ask you this. Can you say to a younger Christian, you imitate me and I'll help guide you to heaven? Now that's a sobering thought. Can you do that? Can you say, hey, watch what I do, do what I do? Not that I'm perfect. I don't know that we think like that much. I think we tend to think, hey, I have my own life and I do things my way and I try to do right and I think God's okay with what I'm doing. And we have a whole system of thoughts about us and our life. But if we stop and think, can I tell others, you follow me and we'll go to heaven? Verse 18, Paul says, "For many of whom I often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ." Many. This chapter reminds us that we live in a world where people are enemies of Christ. We live in a world where people aren't walking with God. I know for many of us on our minds is the tragedy in Dallas. The tragedy in Texas. On our minds is this trouble in our nation. And words like racism, abuse of force, terrorism, the taking of innocent lives, tragedies. Those things that are in the news recently are on our minds and our hearts. And this verse reminds us many live as enemies of Christ. And I want to remind you of two things regarding those things in the news. One is, to answer the question, what in the world is happening in our world? What is going on? One thing to remember is the problem is sin. The problem is sin. The problem is the devil and the lives of people choosing sin. And the solution is Jesus. It's always Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus. And then something that I think will help us is to remember this world is not our home. I love this world. I'm comfortable in this world. But this world's not my home. It's not our home. And another way of saying this is most walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And our job is to be a light. Our job is to influence this world. Our job is to be a voice of peace, a voice of healing, a voice of love, a voice of truth. I remind you of this scripture that Jesus said, Matthew 7:13. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." If you wonder why so many people are living sinful lives, the answer is it's easy. It's tempting. And many will do that. Those who enter in are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. I can't stand here before you and tell you that most people are going to heaven. I want to say that. I want to believe that. I want to feel that most funerals that I do, most are going to heaven. I've never done one where people felt like their loved one is not going to heaven. But my Bible tells me most will not go to heaven. Wide is the road that leads to destruction, right? Many travel it. Most travel it. We can't live like most people, can we? I can't act like most people. Otherwise, I won't be with God someday. Narrow is the road. It would be, and believe me, I know it's not encouraging to hear that. It's not an encouraging part of my Bible to read that says narrow is the way. But what fools we would be to think that God is just like us. And God will overlook man's unfaithfulness. Verse 19. Their end, these are the ones living enemies of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with their mindset on earthly things. So we have three things here. Paul is talking about those who live against Christ, those who are living worldly lives. They're just living for themselves, and he tells us three things about them. One, their God is their belly, and that's an example of a broader issue, and the issue is they worship themselves. They worship themselves. They decide what to do based on what they want to do. They have a lot of thoughts and energy that goes into what I want. And I think we can relate to that a little bit. How often do I think, well, what do I want? Or what do I want to do? Or what am I working toward? And not that those things are bad or wrong, but I have to keep it in perspective. And who is my God? Who is the one I worship? Who is the one I submit to? I can't live like the world lives. I have to live like I have a Father who loves me and I serve Him. So God, their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. And we see that. We live in a world where people sin and they glory in it. They celebrate it. But we can't see it that way. We have to remember that's what Jesus died for. And the third thing is their minds are on earthly things. Colossians 3:2 reminds us, set your minds on things that are above. One thing I love about church camp is, church camp for me was always a time that, although it was just 1 week, but 1 week when I was removed from TV, music, basically society, entertainment, things of this world, it always amazed me after only 7 short days how close to God I was and how much more in love with God I was. How much more I wanted to please God. How much better I felt when my mind was not on earthly things, but it was on spiritual things. What things do we think about? We need to think more about heavenly things, don't we? We need to think more about heavenly things. When I see tragedies, I need to remember I have a God in heaven who hurts, but He sent His Son to save us from sin. And I have a God in heaven who tells me this world's not your home anyway. Our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This passage in Philippians has good news and bad news. And the bad news is we live amongst sin. And the bad news is we can't live like those we live around. But the good news is we have a Father who wants to help us in this life. We have a Father who has prepared a home for us. The good news is this world isn't my home. And if this world is going to the garbage dump, I don't have to go with it. Because my world's up there. When Jesus prayed, remember Jesus, His last prayer before He was crucified. In that prayer, He talked about us. And He said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. When we were in customs in Quebec and we were separated, they went through our luggage. And I found out about this later. Steve said, and we only brought carry-on luggage. We brought a suitcase the size that you could carry on, and we brought an extra bag, a.k.a. a purse. If women get to bring a purse, then men get to bring a backpack. That's a rule, and I like it. We do that on the plane. So I had 2 bags. Well, Steve Hess has 1 bag. His 1 bag is smaller than anyone else's main suitcase. About yay wide, about yay high. It wasn't even full. He had 1 bag. So when you go to the counter, he's at his own counter with his own guy, and he plops his bag up there. The guy looks at that and says, you're going to be here 6 days? Yeah. This is all you brought? Yeah. Where's the rest of your stuff? This is it. You're going to be here 6 days and this is all you brought? Yep. Of course, he starts going through it. We weren't moving to Canada. Right? We're just going to visit. How much better would our lives be if we acted like we were just visiting here? I'm just traveling through here. I'm just visiting this world. My home is up there. That's where I belong. I'm just here to brighten someone else's day. I'm just here to tell other people there's a God in heaven who loved you so much He gave His Son for you. Come with us. But I'm not staying here. How much better would our lives be? When we finally Yvette got through first. Evidently, she was the least criminal of us. But I got through second, so I wasn't last. And when they finally told me to go, and I come out, and I come around the corner, our group is waiting right there in seats, right around the corner. And so I come out the door and around the corner, and my mind is already on to, we've got to get the rental cars, we've got to get moving, now we're 2 hours behind all this. I come around the corner, and I see our group, and they cheer. They clap, and they cheer. And it was cool. I didn't expect that. Now, they might have been cheering because they don't have to wait anymore, I don't know. But I got an applause, and I thought that was neat. When we step out of this life into the next, and I'll say it this way, into paradise, and await the final destination of heaven. But when we step out of this world and into God's world and in God's favor, don't you think our loved ones who are already there cheer for us when we come in? Don't you think when one comes through the pearly gates that those that are there cheer for them? I want to leave you with this thought. We just came back from family vacation. We came from, got home from Canada, got up the next morning and drove to Tennessee. So we just came home a couple days ago. That will be our last family vacation with our three girls living at home. So it's a special trip. Family is special. There are things in this life that are special to us. Our health is special to us. But the thing that really matters is if I die before my kids, and God willing I will, and God willing I'll be with Him, the important thing is when they die, will I get to cheer? When your family passes, if you're already there, will you get to cheer? When you pass, your loved ones in heaven, will they get to cheer for you? Our citizenship is there. And there are so many things on this planet that don't matter. And I have to remind myself that of that daily. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll sing. God, we thank you for how good you are to us, but we pray that you help us more and more to focus on this world less. Help us to not lose sight of what is really important. Help us to remember we're just traveling. And we have a mission, and that is to reach as many as possible and seek and save the lost. We pray that we would think about heaven more, and we would be further from temptation. We pray for your help in all this. We pray a special prayer for our young people this week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, let's stand together. We're going to offer an invitation. We're going to sing, "This World Is Not Our Home." If there's something you need that we could help you with this morning, if you're not right with God, if there's a way that we can help you, we'd want you to come during this song and let us know.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through.